The Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. God, we lift you up today. We worship you. You are good and you are faithful and we adore you. We thank you that we are free to worship you. We are free to worship you today. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.
But he brought me in, oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free.
Sing it.
Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child. Grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Oh, he died for me. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child.
Worship service, but I want you to know you don't have to have it all figured out right now, okay? You are chosen by God. You are a child of God and you are chosen, all right? For what? You may not know, but God has a plan and he is for you. He's not against you. Sometimes you feel the world's against you and there's pressure to make decisions and come up with answers and you don't have to have it all worked out. He is for you. He has a plan for you. He's not against you. And you need to know that. You are a child of God. You are all the things that God says you are. So don't think just because people ask you, hey, what's next? You don't have to have all the answers. God has the answers. You lean into him and he will open doors and he will open opportunities and he will show you the way. He will put you in the path that you're supposed to be on if you just lean into him. Okay? He sure will. that just came to me, but there's so much pressure. Just have it all together and have it all buttoned up and ready to go. You don't have to do that. You were created for a purpose. He created you different than everyone else. And there's a plan and a purpose for your life. Lean into him. He's the one that knows, because he created you that way. Okay? You are a child of God. No one can take that from you. Trust. Okay? Now sing this.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am.
Sing it again.
I am chosen, not forsaken. Thank you.
Hear your voice carried in the rhythm.
across an ocean so I wouldn't drown.
You've never been closer than you are right now.
Jireh, you are enough. I know what you've spoken.
I'm already loved.
did. Father, there is worship that we can do that just makes our spirits feisty. And it is a good and holy feistiness, God. It's worship that calls out to our spirit that when the world tells us that we have no value, our spirit answers, I'm a child of God. And there is no higher value than that. When the world calls out, you have no power, our spirit cries out, I know the one who has all the power. All the power, Jesus, is in your name. When the world tells us that we have nothing, God, we have you, and you are always more than enough. God, your spirit within us testifies that you are there. You are our Father. You are powerful. You are enough. God, your spirit in us rebels against the lies the world tells. It teaches us your word. It reminds us of who you are and who we are in you. And for that, we thank you and we praise you, God. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen, 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 and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you. That was, man, I was worshiping this morning, and that was the word that came to mind was feisty. And it was just a good, good feistiness. You guys sounded feisty too, so that's good. Thank you for being here. Welcome to you. Thank you for being here to worship with us this morning. If you are here with us in person, if you are here with us online, thank you for choosing to be with us and worshiping with us today. If you are a guest, we're very thankful that you're here. We would love to be able to meet you and get to know you, just to say hello and thank you. There's a few ways we can do that. You can fill out one of the cards on the back of the chair in front of you and drop that in the offering bucket as it goes by. You can do that online. You can stop by our visitor's table in the lobby on your way out. And we have a gift we'd love to give to you just to connect if we have a chance to do that. I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward as we continue to worship. You guys can give feisty now, right? You know, I want to tell you a story that I heard this week that's really neat about a church. A friend of mine was visiting the church, and he was talking about, it was a small church, and it was during the offering time, and I thought this was really neat that they have the ushers go around, and they're passing out the trays, but the ushers, he said, they went around with dollar bills. They had dollar bills. And that they were with the offering tray. And any time they got to someone who didn't have to give, and also with kids, like little kids, they gave out dollar bills to people who didn't have anything to give so that they could experience the joy of giving, okay? Which I thought was great. I think it's a great thing. We're not doing that. But I do think, it was a great thought. If you're a parent and you do have your child in, it's great to give your child the experience of the joy of giving, okay? And so as you give, especially I think if you're a parent and you have little ones and that's one you could think about, give them the chance to experience that joy and have something to give to God. And as we all know, God takes that. He multiplies that. We have a lot of things coming up. We have VBX. We have camp this summer. We have a lot of things. We have someone this morning that just gave a wonderful donation for camp scholarships and just excited to send more youth to camp. That just happened right before service. And just great to see the things that God is going to do with that. And so let me pray for that real quick, and then I'm going to let these guys do their thing while I keep doing mine. Lord, thank you so much for giving to us what we have to return to you. Thank you that we serve a God who is so amazing and so loving and so generous that we can actually have joy, God, to give to you. You don't need what we have. You gave it to us in the first place, but getting to give it, God, can be a joyous thing for us pray that your spirit makes it so. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you are a guest today, please do not feel any obligation. This is what we do as part of our worship and just to continue the work that God is doing in our community. So I have also been asked to give a little update this week on Pastor Corey. Thank you all for praying for him this week. He mentioned last week that he was going to have a procedure done. He had that procedure done on Monday. He actually had surgery on his neck and had a couple of his discs fused together by a great surgeon. And the procedure went very well. He was looking, the doctor thought it would help him to relieve some pain that he has had to endure for a while and in his neck and in his shoulders and parts of his body. And the procedure went very well on Monday. So thank you for praying. He wanted to let you know that was it. Hopefully he's watching from home this morning, you would think. Maybe. Unless he's watching another church. And that's okay. That's okay. He's home. I got to see him yesterday. Dropped off lunch for him. And he was there. He had a smile on his face. Had one of those really cool looking neck braces that you see in the movies when people are faking whiplash in their courtroom thing. So that was fun. That's an image I'm going to hold on to for a while. But he is doing well. And he'll be back with us soon. And just wanted you guys to know and to thank you for your prayers for him. So thanks so much for that. We have a few video announcements that I think tried to start already. Oh, as the video announcements are playing, if you are a graduate today, we need you to make your way up to the front to one side or the other of the stage. This will help you learn to begin lining up like you're going to have to do soon. So this is practice for you. So if you're one of our graduates, please come down to the side of the stage as we'll be honoring you in a few minutes after the video. Thanks.
What's up, CF Paris? We are so excited that you're here with us today. We have just a few announcements for you. First off, we want to congratulate all the graduates. You have made it. We are so excited for you. We are so proud of you. And we just want to celebrate you today.
All right. And speaking of graduates, even if you've graduated, it is not too late to sign up for high school summer camps. So get all of your high schoolers, middle schoolers, get them signed up. It's not too late, but it's getting close. So get signed up for summer camps, high school. There's two options, middle school, going with Young Life. So we're super duper excited about that. And speaking of signing up, we need you to sign up to help us with VBX. I promise you, it is the most fun I have all summer. It is just a blast. Loving on kids, hanging out, it's just so much fun. So please get signed up to help us volunteer with that. If you're like, I don't know what I want, just come find us. We will find you something to do. Even if it's just welcoming people, we would love, 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 love to have you help us with VBX this year. And also, please get your kids signed up so we know who's coming. It's for ages 3 and potty trained through fourth grade. So if you have kids in that age range, if you have neighbors in that age range, you have grandkids in that age range, get them signed up. We are super excited. It's the last week of June and it's in the evenings. So we're super stoked. So get signed up for all the things. And speaking of stoked, here comes Pastor Brandon. We're super excited for him. Bye, y'all.
Bye, guys.
Make y'all stand in front of everybody. I know you love this. So come on up. Y'all coming up. You file up in. What's your, this season of your life is really exciting. And it's important that you understand that you have a church family that's behind you, here to support you. Look at all these good looking young people. It's been an honor to have you guys in youth ministry in whatever capacity you've been able to participate in that youth ministry, camps, and weekly meetings, and small groups, and it's been an honor to have you here on Sunday mornings. Some of you are going to go off and not come back. Some of you will find your home right here, on to college or trade schools or all these different things, but we want to just take a moment and pause right before this transition in your life to tell you how awesome we think you are, to tell you that we believe in you, to tell you that it's all going to work out, to tell you that you have a body and a church family that's praying for you. We're here for you. And that whenever you need us, you can call us. You can show up on a Sunday morning after a long drive in from college and just say, Pastor Brandon, Pastor Corey, Pastor Greg, or your youth leader, I need some prayer. I'm having a hard time. We're here for you. Remember that you're not alone. You know, prayer is a powerful tool. It connects us to the divine, brings us comfort, gives us strength, guidance. So as you navigate the uncertainties that are ahead of you, remember, you have prayer. You have people that are praying for you, and you yourself can pray. And we ask that wisdom would guide your decisions and that you would have courage to face the obstacles and setbacks ahead of you. I also want to remind you that as you step off into this next season of your life, it's important to find a church community to call your own. Maybe it will continue to be this one if you're local. But maybe when you go off to college or to your trade schools or to these different places, it might be a little hard to try to find that church community. But it's important that you do, because we all need support. You need support. You need somebody, a group of people that can hold your hands up and encourage you when you're down. It's an important step in this process of your life, of going into adulthood, that you find a body of believers, a Christ-centered community that you can call your own, that answers questions that you're asking of God. I'm going to use this other mic because that's really distracting. This still won't be as long as your graduation will be, so don't worry. Connect to a healthy church. It may take some time to do that. It may take multiple visits to multiple places to find that community that you fit in, but don't give up. I hear stories of people that it's taken 9 months, 10 months, 2 semesters of college to actually finally find a place where they feel like this is where I belong. But don't give up. Find that community. I also want to remind you of God's promise, His constant presence in your life. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. It reminds us of God's purpose for each and every one of us. He will guide you in His purposes for you. He has set a path before you. And in the moments when you question that path and that purpose, and when challenges arise, remember, you can call to your Heavenly Father in prayer. The Lord is close to all who call on Him. Yes, to all who call on Him in truth. Let's pray. God, I pray that You'll be with each and every one of these graduates. Together as a church body, we pray for them. We lift them up. We're so proud of them. I ask that Your Spirit would overflow in them. God, the source of all hope, that You would fill them completely with joy and peace because of their trust in You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you guys stand up and give them a hand clap of support? I want to say this blessing over your life. And as I do, you can exit either side of the stage and we have a gift for you. But may God fill you with peace and hope and courage and purpose. And may you experience His overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love. Amen. God bless you. Congratulations. Congratulations. All right. Those moments happen quick, don't they? You mamas and dads, all of a sudden it's here, right? Transition has happened or is happening. Lots of good things ahead, right? And sometimes these transitions can cause turmoil, cause confusion. But God's right there for us, encouraging us, helping us get along. Let me get this set up here because I have two different things going on. All right. Good morning. You know, I was disappointed when they upgraded my ticket to first class because that meant that I wasn't getting that voucher that I could use later. About the only time you're ever going to be disappointed for not getting upgraded to first class. I was about 19 years old. I had recently moved to Brazil as a fresh young missionary right out of Bible college. I was engaged to Claudia at the time, who was living in Brazil. And, I don't know if that was a woo for me, a woo for her, or it was definitely for her. Yeah, I heard somebody say it. Definitely. Okay, so my best friend was getting married, and the plane ticket that I purchased to get down to Brazil was a two-way ticket because I needed to come back and be a part of his wedding. I didn't have a return ticket back to Brazil, but that was where I was living. Claudia asked me, as leading up into that moment, hey, what are you going to do? How are you getting back? I said, I don't know. God will handle it. God will take care of it. I trust him. We'll figure this out. Get back to the States, get through with the wedding. A week into being back, Claudia calls. When you coming home? Where are you? What's the plan? Oh, God's going to handle it. I trust God. He's going to provide. I have faith. I've prayed. I know God's going to provide. Another week goes by. Claudia calls back. Hey, I'm sending you your ticket in the in your email. Go print out your ticket. Here's your confirmation code. I used my pastor's credit card to buy your ticket. We have to pay him back, but you got to come back. I was embarrassed because I had faith that God was going to provide for me. I wasn't expecting it to be that way. I was embarrassed because she had to figure it out, right? She made it happen, and I was supposed to make it happen. I'm the man of the relationship. I'm supposed to take care of these things, right? I was embarrassed because we had to put it on her pastor's credit card. I was embarrassed because we had to pay it over 6 months, divided, no interest. That's how they do it down there. And I didn't feel like it was faith. And I felt like God had let me down. I felt like God did not answer my prayer. Of course, I was young. I was immature Christian at the time, just fresh out of Bible college. I wanted to see God move in a miraculous way. I wanted that cool missionary story, right? I didn't know what I was going to do, and I believed God, and somebody walked up to me with a plane ticket, and I didn't even know them, and they just handed it to me. I'm just supposed to give this to you, right? I was new, fresh out of Bible college. I wanted this story to be able to share with my supporters and my friends that God was so faithful, providing for me. I was trying to prove that I had what it takes to be a real missionary, right? That I had the faith to just go somewhere and just trust God that it would all work out. Probably wasn't faith. That was probably more wishful thinking, right? Maybe it was pride and immaturity. A delusion, right? About how I think God would operate or move or answer prayer. As if the more people I told that I was just waiting and trusting on God, the more God would be, have to prove himself, right? Well, now I put this out there, God, if you don't come through, it's going to look bad on you. You better answer my prayer, right? It's a silly example of prayer. But prayers do go unanswered, don't they? Not just the silly ones, deep, inner, important, life or death prayers go unanswered. Prayers of healing, prayers for salvation for loved ones, prayers for protection or for deliverance, healing from cancer, or salvation for a family member, deliverance from loneliness or relief for bereavement or depression, avoidance of bankruptcy, prayer to conceive a child or to find a partner, prayers that go, deep prayers that go unanswered. I'm talking about peace today, being equipped with peace. Yeah, you saw that.
So why am I talking about prayer if you're talking about peace? Sounds like you're talking about prayer, Pastor Brandon. Well, prayer is the vehicle that God uses to deliver peace. Prayer is the vehicle that God uses to deliver peace. Prayer is connected to peace. Peace is connected to prayer. Paul says it this way. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace. Everybody say peace. Which exceeds anything we understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So if God equips me with peace, and that peace comes through prayer, why doesn't God answer my prayer? You ever wondered that? Maybe not directly that line of reasoning, but have you ever wondered why God hasn't answered your prayer, why God hasn't responded, why God hasn't done what you hoped, what you'd asked him to do? When we look at that verse, notice what Paul doesn't say. He doesn't say, pray about everything and thank God in advance because he will answer you. Is that in there? Nope. Pray about everything, tell God everything you want, then thank him for it, like as if you're thanking him for it, will actually make it happen so that he will, you know, acquiesce to your request, thereby giving you peace. Is that what Paul says? No. It doesn't even say pray, receive an answer, then you will experience God's peace. Does it say anything about an answer? No. It's not a formula for walking in peace because of answered prayer. There's something about prayer, right, that's deeper than just getting an answer. There's something about prayer more than what our modern American culture has been able to teach us about prayer. Can we walk in peace in our hearts and in our minds even when our prayers aren't answered? Here's a little, get a little participation from you. You're going to raise your hands, or put them down. It's okay, you can do that. Let's go ahead and practice. Everybody raise your hand. All right, not everybody did it. See, I'm trying to warm you up. You know how you go to the gym, you kind of jog a little bit, you stretch. All right, so everybody raise your hand. There you go. Now you're warmed up. Okay. How many of you can boldly affirm that God has answered prayers for you? All right, take a moment, look around, and keep your hand up. All right, that's a lot. So I got two.
Walking miracle.
How many of you can also boldly affirm that God has not answered some of your prayers? Some of y'all put two hands up on this one. And don't worry. Like putting your hand up in answer or response to that question, it's not a sign that you lack faith. It's not a sign that you respect or lack respect for God or don't believe that he can. But let's go a little deeper. How many of those prayers that were answered were simple things, like parking spot close to the door? I mean, come on, if you're going to pray, you might as well pray for a close parking spot sometimes, right? Or, God, please just let these fumes of gas keep multiplying like the bread on the 5,000 so that I can make it to the gas station so Scott McClure doesn't have to come pick me up. Get me to the gas station. Now, how many of those prayers that were answered were deep things, difficult things, inner things, more serious things? And then think about the prayers that have been unanswered. How many of those were silly things, and how many of those were things that really mattered? And when your prayers go unanswered, do you secretly wonder whether God exists or not? Or does he even care? Or if he exists and if he cares, why isn't he helping? See, there's some deep questions that come up out of prayer, right? our prayer life can be superficial, or we can go deep with it. True peace comes from honestly wrestling with these tensions. True peace comes from honestly wrestling with the tensions of unanswered prayer. We need to cultivate our prayer lives by learning more about the aspects and the attributes and the attitudes of prayer by embracing those intentions, by embracing the fact that sometimes God doesn't answer your prayers. Peace is connected to prayer. And when you can use that prayer to walk in peace. But when that doesn't seem to work, sometimes we come up with all kinds of reasonings, right? We try to go to our theology. We try to look at the scriptures. There's these different arguments that we come up with to justify or unjustify why our prayers work or don't work, right? And here's some of the things that we say. That's just not what God wants for your life. If you seek him more, he'll change what you want, and then your prayers will be answered, right? That's kind of an argument that we make sometimes. Another one is God sees everything that was, he sees everything that is, he sees everything that will be, and so he knows which prayers to say yes to and which prayers to say no to. Pretty valid argument. Or we say maybe God's not saying no, or he's just saying not yet. He's silent because he's just saying not yet. And there's merits to those arguments, right? But it's a little more complicated than that, isn't it? The practice of prayer is simple. Just going to God, having a conversation with him, that's simple. But the effects of that prayer or the results of that prayer gets a little more complicated, a little more profound. Because there's other arguments that are out there too. Like, you know, if you pray long enough, you pray hard enough, consistent enough, you say the right words, you shape the right prayer, and your life is right at the right moment, right when the lightning strikes, then God will answer. Or unanswered prayers just means that God doesn't care about that situation. That maybe he's got bigger things to do than what you're praying about. Or maybe he's just not really listening to you because, well, you know, you do have sin in your life. Or there's the argument that if your prayer is unanswered, you lack faith. Right? Heard that one before? So prayer, first of all, it's not a means to manipulate God into fulfilling our desires, right? It's not a quid pro quo thing. God, if I do this, and then you'll do this. And God, why? So prayer, first of all, it's not a means for manipulation. Another thing is that God's lack of response or his silence, it doesn't necessarily indicate indifference or inattentiveness. He may have a different plan. It doesn't mean that he doesn't care. And unanswered prayers are not solely due to the lack of faith. Faith's important, right? We know that faith is important. We know without faith it's impossible to please God, but there may be various reasons why our prayers aren't answered that have nothing to do with our faith. In fact, there's people in the Bible that got healed and they didn't have faith, right? So that's not the whole picture. Like, it's not just because of your lack of faith. And then there's this argument. God will only answer your prayers if they're in line with his will. God will only answer your prayers if they're in line with his will. And while his will is important, and he operates based on him being glorified and others being helped and rescued, and he answers prayers according to his will, that statement can sometimes be used to downplay or dismiss the disappointment that we experience in unanswered prayers, right? Because how many of you have longed for and prayed and cried and asked God to do something that you know was good, that you know is not against his will, right? We've prayed for healing before. We know God wants to heal, right? We know God doesn't want a friend or a family member to suffer like that. We know that God can, but yet Is it about his will? What? You ever really wanted? You ever really, really wanted to win? You ever really, really wanted to win? All the time, right? You ever lost before? How many of y'all get upset when you lose? I mean, even playing solitaire, you're like smacking the table, right? And sometimes we kind of move when we lose after having wanted something so badly, and then we lose. Sometimes we're very quick to dismiss, right? Well, it was the refs, right? Well, you know, my dog kept barking all night long. I didn't get enough sleep, and so I just wasn't on my game. Well, they're a bunch of cheaters, you know. There's always a reason sometimes. We kind of move into that space of trying to downplay that feeling that we have of disappointment, of hurt, of pain, of why. Why didn't that work out the way I had hoped? Unanswered prayer causes turmoil in our lives, doesn't it? So why in the world is Paul telling us to pray so that we can have peace? Probably because we need to learn something more about prayer. Maybe we need to understand more about prayer. Maybe we need to mature in our idea, in our thought, in our practice, in our attitude of prayer. Recognizing that we don't always get what we hope for is challenging. But it's okay to wrestle in prayer with God. It's okay. Generally, when we pray and God doesn't answer, we kind of give up. We kind of give up a little too easy. We maybe try to get on with life just to kind of ease that feeling of disappointment. We're secretly maybe disappointed in God, and it hurts too much maybe to even wrestle with Him. So we move on from that part of our life. Or maybe we shut God out of that part of our life. Maybe we downplay God's love for us. Well, I'm just not Christian enough for Him to respond to me. Or we downplay His power, like, well, maybe He just can't do this at this time in my situation for whatever reason, right? We try to move past that disappointment and that feeling, just like we're trying to move past a loss. But the kind of peace that God equips us with is the kind of peace that will change everything. And it's the kind of peace that He delivers through prayer. And it's a kind of peace that can't be explained. We try to logically figure out how prayer works so that we know how to do it, right? We try to logically figure out why my prayers aren't being answered so that we can then make adjustments and then plug in the formula or the numbers or the words or the actions or the service or this or that or the other, so that then, okay, now we got it going on. But you can do everything right and it still everything go wrong. You ever experienced that? Yeah. And you're like, what the heck, God? Right? I thought you were going to give me a plane ticket. I thought for sure that me giving up my seat and coach would get me that voucher, and that's how you were going to provide. But then they bumped me to first class, which I'm complaining about, but not, I don't, yeah. If we're going to live our lives as though the message of Jesus really does make a difference and really does change everything in our lives, then we need to walk in the peace that He gives us. Amen? And in order to walk in the peace that He gives us, we have to go to God in prayer. And when we go to God in prayer, when we develop our prayer life, when we get more mature in the way and in the practice and in the habits and in the timings and in the words that we say, things don't always work out. Any serious follower of Jesus believes in the power of prayer, but yet it's that belief that causes us perplexity because prayers do go unanswered. So we either ignore the pain and the disappointment, and maybe on some level we try to like, okay, I have to be fine, everything's fine. Like, me admitting that I'm disappointed or angry at God, or that maybe I don't have faith, or maybe I don't have it all going on, that maybe there's some issues or some problems, or maybe it's just God withholding his love for me because he's that kind of God, but on some surface level, we hide that, right? Because I'm at church, and we got, you know, I had to put my church clothes on, and I had to put my church attitude on, and when a Christian asks me how I'm doing, I'm like, I'm doing awesome. I've been reading the word every day. I've been praying all the time. No, you haven't. And then we approach God with the same mask. I know you didn't answer my prayer, God, but that's okay. I know you know what's best. Is that a true statement? Yeah. Is it honest? Are you being honest? So how can we embrace God's peace in the midst of disappointment? Psalms 145:18, I read it to the graduates. It says this: the Lord is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. When you're struggling with unanswered prayer, do you call on him in truth? In truth. In honesty. Jesus illustrates it like this. There was a religious guy and a tax collector. Two men went into the temple. One was a Pharisee. The other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer: I thank you, God, that I am not liketh other people. Cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I'm certainly not like that tax collector over there. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance, dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, "Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner." Jesus said, "I tell you, the sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God." When I was trying to manipulate God into getting me a plane ticket or provide for me with the faith that I thought was faith or the way that I saw fit, I wasn't being honest at all. I portrayed that I trusted God and that he would take care of it. I put on a face that I had the faith in that, but yet I didn't know how God was going to provide. I didn't have the money. I mean, I was a fresh Bible college graduate. Without a job. Like, I didn't know how to do it. But instead of going to God and just being like, God, it was like, yeah, you're going to provide. I have faith that you'll work this out. He humbled me for sure. And in that moment, I think I kind of took a nick in my soul and in my heart. And I said, God, I don't know if I can ever trust you again in that way. We do that sometimes, right? When we get disappointed or when things don't go our way, we kind of say to God, God, that's fine. I'm just not going to ask you about that anymore. I'm just not going to come to you with this anymore. I'm just going to shut this part of my heart and my life off to you. Years went by with that in my heart. It wasn't till later that the Holy Spirit had to remind me, hey, remember back then, when your wife took care of business and you didn't? No, he didn't say it that way. He's like, remember what you said. Remember you said that you wouldn't trust me that way anymore. Let's talk about that. And so I was able in that moment to pour out my heart to him and say, God, you let me down. You let me down. And I was angry. And I was hurt. You broke my trust, and I just didn't understand how you could do that. And guess what? That doubt, that frustration, that honesty, it didn't pull me away from God. God didn't withdraw himself from me because I was honest, right? What happened? I got closer. I got closer to God. Isaiah says, you will keep in perfect peace all those who trust in you, all those whose thoughts are fixed on you. When you fix your thoughts on people, are all of those thoughts evoking of inspiration and awe and beauty and all pleasant things? When you fix your thoughts on those that are even closest to you, are those, all of those thoughts, are they rejuvenating? Do they make you like want to run and skip and frolic in the fields? The thoughts that you fix on other people? So why is it that the thoughts that we fix on God have to all be polished? Why is it that we come to God wearing fig leaves? Why is it that we come to God pretending like the Pharisee to have it all together? In a book called God on Mute, Pete Gregg writes this: the thing that keeps God out of our lives is not sin. It is our compulsion to pretend, to cover up our nakedness with fig leaves, to climb sycamore trees in order to see without being seen. You know, the Psalms are full of honest prayers. Prayers like in Psalms 13 that says, oh Lord, how long will you forget me forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle in anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? God's not bothered by your honesty. Do we think that by somehow saying something that may be contrary to theologically sound doctrine, that God's going to be less? Do we think that by critically thinking about things and wrestling with things that's true, not true, we think should be true but are not true because we haven't experienced it, do we think that expressing that doubt and that concern and that frustration and that whatever we want to call it, do we think that when we express that, or if we would talk to God about those things, that he'll pull away from us, that somehow he'll strike us with lightning, that somehow it makes him less, or somehow maybe our kids or people that we know will lose their faith because we're struggling? Do you think God has to try to answer our prayers in certain ways as to prove something? Like he's concerned that we're not going to believe him if he doesn't answer? When you pray prayers, you need to be brutally honest. Brutally honest with God. I've heard of people that use curse words even in their prayers with God. Calling him names. Now, I know that's for sure going to get hit by lightning. But are you honest? If that's what it takes for you to start that journey of honesty with him, as a fellow member of this body of Christ, like, we're supposed to encourage each other, right? Be honest with God. You have permission. It's okay. Stop BSing your way through it. Be real with him. It's not all working out. It's not all fine. It's not okay. He didn't answer your prayer. He didn't protect your loved one. He didn't heal them. He didn't change their heart. He hasn't rescued them from their sin. There's a lot of things that we deal with that are emotionally charging and taxing, and we don't want to go there because God hasn't responded or answered yet. And so hey God, me again. Yeah, it's all good. I love you. I went to church today. It was nice. I got a little flicker in that song. Yeah, that was awesome. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds understanding. It can't be explained. There's no formula for it. There's nothing you can figure out to make happen. All you have to do is pray. And there's a lot of things we can discuss. There's other arguments and other ideas about unanswered prayer that we don't have time, right? As the band comes up, We're going to finish out with that song called Jaira. We need to cultivate honest prayer in our life because it'll equip you with peace. When you pray honestly to the Lord, it will equip you with peace. Your relationship with God is your relationship with God. And how you interact and talk and pray to Him, you develop that as a personal thing. So the words that you use and the attitudes and the thoughts, do you think God can be offended by what you say to Him? Sometimes you've got to get it out there so it'll break the ice and so that He can begin to work on your heart. Expose it. Expose the things that are down in your heart. We try, like Adam and Eve, to hide behind fig leaves. But the peace that God equips us with is only available when we expose ourselves authentically before Him. Cultivating honest prayer will equip you with peace. You know, Jesus went to God in honest prayer. And in the moment of His deepest need, God did not answer Him. He said, God, take this cup. Father, Abba, Abba, the closest word you could use between a relation. Father, please take this cup from me. God didn't take His cup from Him. Thankfully for us. And while He was on the cross, in pain, gasping for air, God, why have you forsaken me? He prayed in pain. God, where are you? And God was silent. No answer. If Jesus can pray to God, and if Jesus' prayers receive a silence, or receive a no, or receive not an answer, don't you think that your prayers will too? Nothing to do with faith. If you just have enough faith. Mm-mm. We can't know everything that God wants for us or has for us. And we can't understand why certain times things happen. But there is hope in honest prayer with God, in authentic relationship with God through Jesus. In God in Mute, God on Mute, that book, it says, then on Easter Sunday, God broke the silence. He awoke. He spoke. And for those of us who walk, however reluctantly, in Jesus' footsteps from Gethsemane to Golgotha to the Garden tomb, Easter Sunday offers irrepressible hope. That one ultimate miracle, the resurrection of the Son of God from the dead, assures us that every buried dream and dashed hope ultimately be absorbed and resurrected into a reality far greater than anything we can currently imagine. Amen. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. And he also said, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. As you honestly wrestle with God, are you there? God, do you care? God, why won't you help? As you honestly go to Him, peace will flood your heart. There's no explanation to it. That's why it says, without understanding, peace will guard your heart and your mind. Your relationship with God will be more authentic, more like the tax collector, less like the Pharisee. There's a guy named Joseph. This is my closing story here. And then we'll sing and give some prayer time for Jesus. I know we're a little bit past what we normally do, but we did graduate, so you got to give me a little bit more, right? All right. There's an Irish man named Joseph Scriven. He graduated from Trinity College in Dublin, fell in love with a gal from his hometown. And on the eve of their wedding, she was coming to pay him a visit. And as he saw her coming, approaching a bridge, with a glimmer in his eye on her horse, suddenly the unimaginable happened. The horse threw her at the bridge. She went off the bridge and into the icy waters below. And by the time Joseph got to the water and found her and got her out, it was too late. On the eve of their wedding. It's a prayer unanswered. Years later, he found love again. But they had to keep postponing their wedding because Eliza became ill. And she got worse, and they kept postponing. And she got worse, and they kept postponing. And she died. That's a prayer unanswered. Joseph's mom was concerned for him. He'd moved back to be with his mother, and his mother was expressing concern for him. And Joseph wrote a poem for her to express to her that I'm okay and that it's going to be okay, to help comfort her too. Joseph never could have imagined that the poem that he wrote out of that pain, out of that unanswered prayer, would bring encouragement and aid to millions. You may have heard this poem. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God. Everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Don't let your unanswered prayers cause you to stop praying. Don't let it create a barrier between you and your Maker. He loves you lavishly and wants a relationship with you that is personal to you, not like Pastor Brandon or Pastor Corey or Pastor Greg or your grandmama. He wants a relationship with you, personal, custom fit. But if you don't be honest with him, if you just try to replicate what everybody else is doing, if you just wear the fig leaves, then you're not going to get peace and you're not going to have authentic relationship with the Father. He loves you wildly, and he is wildly powerful. He does hear you. He does care. And he can equip you with peace. The Lord is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. Let's stand to our feet. And they're going to sing through. And look, just stay a couple minutes. But as you feel the need to leave, you're welcome to leave. But take a moment in prayer right now as a body. Let's just take a moment in honest prayer as they sing and lead us in worship. God, you are enough even in my disappointments. Heavenly Father, I pray that each and every person in this room and online that's listening to this, that God, you would help us be honest with you. Help us to go to you in prayer. Father God, we pour out our hearts to you and our minds to you in prayer. Even if that prayer is tears, we pray.